All right, time now for all things Gators, all things orange and blue. Dan Hicken and Frank Frangie. What's up, Hick?
Frank, doing well. Thank you, Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, for bringing you this podcast, se-ortho.com, for all your orthopedic needs in Jacksonville, FLA. Doc Murphy and the boys over there and ladies do a great, great job. Good win, good gritty win for the Gator basketball team last night. Frank, you're the basketball beat reporter, but I'm really worried if Castleton's going to be out a while. It's nine is the magic number, Frank. I need seven more.
Yeah, you do. And I think you're dead on. That's the concern. Look, that caught everybody by surprise, Dan. Yeah. I don't think anybody thought you'd look up and all of a sudden Colin Castleton couldn't play. And then you hear after the game may not be able to play for a while. First of all, the game.
Yeah.
Look, here's what they figured out. The last two games they've won. I like the lineup.
Yeah.
I think Kawasi Reeves has to play.
Yeah.
He might be the best shooter. And now Appleby, when he gets in a hot streak, is a great shooter. But I think Reeves might be their best shooter. Where has he been? And here's what I like, Dan. He's fearless. He's letting it fly. The good shooting teams in college basketball, man, they let it fly. They're not worried. They're not saying, let me make one extra pass. I'm not sure if this is a good shot. I may need to work this inside. In today's college basketball, you catch it and let it fly. And Reeves is like that. Appleby was like that last night. I thought Mark White, who did the Mark
Wise.
Mark Wise. Thank you very much. Okay. It's early, Dan.
Yeah, I know. We're fine.
About Mark Wise, who did the color, hit it right on the head.
Mm-hmm.
He was so good. He said, they're going to have to shoot threes. Then just pass it around and work it. They're going to have to let them fly. They're going to have to shoot early threes because you may not get a better look. And I thought Mark was dead on. And I thought he did a great job. So I thought they made a lot of shots. I like that lineup. Here's one thing we've kind of figured out. I hate to say this. But now that we're however many games in now, 17 games in or whatever.
Sure.
You now realize that Myron Jones and McKissick and maybe Felder, even Fleming a little bit. Well, now you know why guys are in the portal. They're good players. They're not great players.
Right.
They're not great scorers, so they're going to have trouble finding points. But we'll get to Castleton in a minute. Great win, I thought, last night.
Yeah, I thought so, too. And the Reeves kid, what I like about him is that plus-minus stat has been terrific for him. When he's on the floor, good things are happening for Florida. So whatever it takes, keep him in the game and let him play. Look, they've got two – every game is going to be a battle if Castleton's not going. And I'm going to assume he's not going Saturday when they play Vandy. And I'm probably going to assume he's not going Monday when they go to Ole Miss. And I'm probably going to assume he's not going to play Tennessee. So I need two wins here in the next two games and climb back to plus 500 at 4-3 in the conference and hope that he doesn't need surgery, I guess, is the hope. Yeah. But for the game itself, yeah, it was a tough win, man. They were behind, and Mississippi State's beaten them three times in a row. And they're 12-4. That's a good win. That was a good win for Florida last night. And they got to try to keep that going, though. They got to keep playing like they're playing, but it's not going to be easy without him.
Here's the thing about the win that was so good. It was so improbable.
Yeah.
Because like you said, Mississippi State's beaten them those years in a row, Dan, because they're tough and big and physical.
Yeah.
And when Florida's best big guy doesn't play, that's what made the win so good. That was a great win. As you move forward, all right, I think they're going to beat Vanderbilt. They've won seven in a row against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's not the Vanderbilt of old. I think it's a home game.
Yeah.
I think they're going to win that game. I think that gets them to 3-3 in the league. Boy, then that Ole Miss game is critical. Remember, it's four games in 8 days, which is hard now. And so, but if you can find – because you're not winning at Tennessee Wednesday, I don't think.
Right.
So if you can find a way to win that Ole Miss game – but, yeah, I went through the schedule after the game and again this morning. It's going to be a grind to get to that nine.
It is.
The nine is ultimately important for you because it's lunch. I get it. Or whatever the heck your bet
steak
is.
Steak dinners, friend.
Good point.
Yeah.
But they're going to get to – I think you're going to have to get to that nine to get to the tournament.
Also true. Probably more important.
After Saturday, Dan, they're 3-3, obviously – with 12 games left, okay? But of the 12 games, only five are at home, seven are on the road. Of the home games, you got Kentucky.
Yeah,
you got Auburn.
Yeah.
They're hard to win.
Yeah.
So you got three home games. So you're going to have to win some road games. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
But, hey, first things first, how do they play without – if they don't have Castleton, can they become a team that plays like they did last night, gets up a lot of quick threes and makes them?
Well, they got to make them. Right. I mean, ultimately, they're going to have to make the threes, and I don't know that they can.
Right. Yeah. Well, Reeves has got to play.
Right.
And I'll still say this. The best way to make those threes is to get them up fast. I like – you and I are both Mike White guys. All the Mike White hate has bothered both of us, and I think we kind of agree on that. But the one thing that concerns me a little bit about his teams is they do tend to sputter offensively, working really hard. He calls a lot of plays. They don't play as free-flowing.
Yeah.
They wait. It takes a while to get into the rhythm, to find the shots. That concerns me because you can't – and if you're not going to have Castleton, which means you have no inside game, you have to play a little faster and shoot a little quicker and make them. So that's the real challenge, to see if they do that.
Wise, by the way, had one more good point last night, and I'll give him credit and get your opinion on this. But he was talking about in terms of value. He said Castleton might be the most valuable player to his team in the conference. He's not saying he's the best player.
Yeah.
But for pure value, I mean, to lose him would be devastating for Florida.
Totally agree. Because they're a team with – there's no other inside game, and they're not very good offensively. So if you're not – if you got a bunch of shooters, you lose the post guy. Who cares? If you don't have a bunch of shooters, that's your offense.
Yeah.
And you get – the way they wanted to play, they wanted to throw it inside to Castleton. He scores. If he gets double-teamed, you throw it back out to get a little better look. I think now they've got to come down and let it fly quick, man. I think – I want to see Reeves. He took 6 3-pointers last night, Danny. Made 3 of them. I'd like to see him get 10 or 11 up a game, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And Appleby is probably their other best shooter. Tyree Appleby, when he's not turning it over, is a very good player.
Right.
If they can get him to play under control, don't get out of control and let it try to force those ridiculous passes, he's a pretty good player. So, by the way, did you notice in a game where they needed all these 3-pointers, there was virtually no Myron Jones? He was the backup point guard.
Struggled.
Really didn't play very much. Did he take a 3? I don't think he shot one.
I'm not sure. He may not have. You know, Texas A&M last night was 1 of 22 behind the arc and almost beat Kentucky. So
I know
the 3 is such a valuable weapon, obviously. Hey, Frank, I love Billy Napier. Mm-hmm. I love him. I love everything about him. I love his musk. I love his the way he looks.
Musk.
Yeah.
He's got a good musk.
Oh, I love him.
Musk is what it is.
I mean, he's done everything. And we said this was going to happen, and it's happening before our eyes. But if you like recruiting or follow recruiting, you got to love what Billy Napier is doing, right? Like just this morning, and we're taping this. What day is today, Frank? Thursday?
Today's Thursday.
Yeah. Just this morning, there's video of Billy Napier going to meet a recruit, right? And the video and the guy reported Billy Napier's here now. He just followed Kirby Smart, who left on his Sikorsky chopper. Okay. Right. Hey, I love that. You know why? We are chasing Georgia, but at least we're chasing the right guys now, Frank. We're chasing the right guys. And when we start getting some of those guys, I'm going to get really excited. And we're starting to get some of those guys. So listen, everything the guy's doing on the recruiting front, the staff that he's building, the names that he's getting to help with recruiting are big. The places where he's making the football team live, the food that he's changed, the parking tickets that have gone away. It's great stuff happening in Gainesville, the standalone facility that's about to open. Frank, this is recruiting Shangri-La.
Well, you're kind of the recruiting beat reporter for the podcast, so you would know. I'll say this. He has, for whatever reason, and social's a big part of it, because every time they do anything well, you can put it out on social.
Yes.
There is a buzz in Gator fandom about what this guy's doing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. He's never coached a game there.
Never.
He's never been a head coach at a Power 5 in his life.
Yeah.
He has got Gator Nation buzzing that he's the next big thing. He really does.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how this has happened. And again, social and the way people can follow it, that's where they've been stars, is everybody that's hired, the way they do it on social. I mean, I can't wait for the Utah game.
Yeah.
And it's been, I said this the other day, and Hayes, Caroline and I talked about this on our radio show. It's the first time, Dan, that any of us have been this excited about a new coach in a long time. Maybe Urban's first year, maybe, you know, it's been a long time since you felt this good about the next coach.
Yeah.
And so we'll see if he can coach. By the way, apart from the recruits that are going to help down the road, getting the guard, Osiris Torrance, was huge. You know, people say, of course they were going to get him. He played at Louisiana. Well, he had Alabama. He had Georgia, Clemson. Yeah. He had LSU, and he was a lifelong LSU fan.
Right.
He's from Louisiana. That was the tough one, to beat LSU. He's a good player. He's an NFL player. I'm suddenly starting to think, you know, with Braun back and Ethan White back, and Egwukan was actually a pretty good center, and I'm starting to think with the running back, Montrell Johnson, who comes in from Louisiana, and if the quarterback from Ohio State and Anthony Richardson can battle it out, we'll get to Emory in a minute, by the way. But if they can, if assuming one of those guys is pretty good, I'm not crazy to think the team might be decent. It might not be a lousy team. Everyone says it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. They may have a decent team. I'm ready.
You do this every year. I want you to be patient. Be patient, grasshopper.
I do it every year, and I'm never going to be patient.
I know you're not. And you should have overrated. It shouldn't be. I get it. But it's – listen, I agree with you about one. The excitement level is sky high. And like I said, I think we sort of predicted this. He's going to be a star all off season, and then Utah is going to come to town, and that star may get punched in the right in the whatever the star corner is, and it might get tough, but it might be a tough year. But I'm still excited, and I like how you're breaking this down for us.
Now I want to get to Emory for a second.
Yeah,
Emory Jones.
Yeah.
Okay, Emory's still there and he's practicing. We talked about this on the last podcast. You could leave after if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking more and more about Emory Jones. The nicest kid ever, great teammate. We've said this 1,000 times.
Sure.
Great teammate, great person, great guy to be around. We've all had that conversation. But why would he still be there? Because he's probably not going to be the quarterback. I think common sense says he had his, when it comes, no matter how good he looks in warmups and practice, when the defense is making changes, Emory doesn't process fast enough
and
throw to the right guy enough that it's probably not going to be the quarterback. Yet he's still there. Why do you – obviously he believes he's going to be the quarterback. Does he change positions? Does he leave after spring? What's your read on all that?
A couple things. One, I don't think he changes positions. I think he's kind of taken – I think he graduates this semester. And I think that's important to him and his family. So I think that was one thing. And then it's like, well, and you've said this before, if you transfer late, you have no chance of starting in the fall, but there may be a place that he can go to. This transfer portal stuff is crazy, man. I mean, so there may be some opportunity or maybe he still believes that, you know what? I think I can get much better and I think I can win this job. I don't think any of us believe that, but I guess that's my read is why the big rush. And, you know, did Billy Napier talk to him? And he said glowing things about the young man. So I guess that would be my read on it. I don't expect him to be the quarterback, but Anthony Richardson so far has shown a lot of injury issues cropping up. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, and you're right. And you're right. Anthony is hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And Jack Miller's never played a down on a Gator uniform. And so who knows? So he could win the – I hate to feel this way because I like the kid. I like it. I don't know him, but I think I like everything about what this kid is. I mean that very sincerely. So I hate to say it this way, but if Emory Jones is their quarterback, I think it's going to be a tough go.
But I will say this, Frank, think back to last year at this time. And that's what a lot of people said about over the school out West. And they said, well, if Mackenzie Milton ain't the quarterback, we're in a world of trouble. Well, he wasn't.
Right.
McKenzie, God bless him, great comeback story, but he wasn't ready. He'll never be the same. He wasn't the same quarterback. So, and the other kid developed. So, you know, I don't know. It's a great question. I don't know. And I don't know if you can teach Emory, we're gonna run an offense where you're going to look here, and then run if it's not there.
Maybe. So maybe there's hope. So, all right. So let me get back to your strong suit, this recruiting thing.
Yes.
Do they have a chance at Harold Perkins in your opinion? Because if they get him, the world changes.
Yeah.
And how far can they climb up those recruiting rankings on February 2nd?
Listen, I go to the recruiting expert in the family and I asked him about Harold Perkins.
Right.
I'm getting this on inside information, people in the podcast.
I know you are.
He's 17.
Right.
And he said, what do you think, Dad, about Harold Perkins? I said, well, what do you think? He said, but reading what I'm reading, I think he's going to be a Gator. Yeah. So I think we're in the, I think we got a shot. And, yeah. And again, you start again, start, you get one, you get two, his combos. We could get 2 5-stars and one class. I mean, Frank, there are some great things happening on the recruiting front. And I do believe, and it's hard to break into that top five, because that means one of those perennial recruiting teams has got to drop down. But, you know, and we know what Alabama does, and we know what Georgia does, and we now know what Texas A&M and Jimbo do, and the NIL and the money and all that factors in now. So it's going to be interesting, man. But I think we got a shot.
Yeah. And I don't know that they're going to be top five now, but I do think that's what they're going to become. Yeah. He's a program builder. Now look, we don't know how he will coach at this level. He's never done it. And he's going to call his own plays.
Right.
But boy, oh boy, he's going to have a lot of help. He's built a lot of help. I've not been a recruit, Nick, in a long time.
I want you to get back.
I might need you back. You may be able to recruit me.
My hand is out, Frank. Unintended,
back into the fold, because I'm very excited now about February 2nd. I now know the recruits' names. I wasn't that guy.
I didn't follow
closely. I now know their names, and I read all the recruiting stuff now, and I didn't before.
Good.
And that's what he has changed.
That's
the one thing he has changed. And so it's going to be exciting to see where it goes.
And last thing before we go, a couple quick notes. Always good to beat Alabama in any sport. We did it twice on Sunday, including a nationally televised gymnastics meet.
Yes.
Shout out to the Gator gymnastics team. So I like that. Did you see the early baseball rankings?
I have not yet.
Okay. Well, the SEC is known for football, and this year they're really good in hoops and baseball. They might be better than both. I mean, this is the premier conference in sports and college sports, peeps. I mean, baseball, the number one team is Texas. Well, they're going to be in the SEC, by the way.
Right.
After that, 2, 3, and 4, SEC. 2, 3, 4, and 5. I think it's both. I think it's Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Vandy.
Right.
All right. LSU's in the top 10. Florida's in the top 10. There's 6 with Texas on deck.
Right.
I mean, Frank, it's incredible.
Well, and here's the thing. Here's what makes it so good in the SEC is because Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Arkansas are great.
Yeah.
They're not schools you count on
to
carry you very much in football or basketball.
Right.
I mean, when South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss are among the top teams in the country, well, you know the strongholds. You know Florida and LSU are going to be very good.
Right.
So you got teams that are always going to be – no, that's good and bad. The hard thing is hard to get through it.
Oh, yeah.
But if you do get through it, you are certainly ready to play anybody at any time. That's 100%.
And you know this maybe as well as anyone. It's the last thing I'll say. And I want to challenge Florida fan. You got that new baseball stadium, man. Right. And the great thing about SEC baseball, we saw this last year, in Starkville, it's always been that way. But in Tennessee, and when Florida went up there, the packed houses – Ole Miss and what they do. I mean, college baseball has become a big event, and Florida does not have that even in the new stadium. They need to capture that a little bit, Frank. The fans, I don't want to get on Gator Nation a little bit, but basketball games, where are they? Baseball games, you got to go.
Yeah. Let me speak to that and then an addendum to it.
Okay, please.
First of all, I agree. No, Dan, I agree with you. The real, whether we like this or not.
Yeah.
The problem with drawing fans in the state of Florida to any sport.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's professional, college, particularly in the springtime.
Yep.
Is the weather's so perfect.
Yep.
That's why the Bucks, Jaguars, Dolphins, the baseball teams.
Sure.
It's hard to draw in Florida. And I'm not making an excuse.
No, it's fair.
And there's less to do in Starkville than there is in all these Florida haunts. That's just reality.
But when I see that water going in the air and the beer flying and I mean, any kid, I'd be, oh man, that'd be awesome to play there.
Yeah. So, but I think it's harder.
Yeah. To draw. I get you.
So to that end though, I want to add an addendum to this. I said this on my radio show, Scott Strickland's a friend of mine, and I'm going to ask Scott about this next time I see him. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it costs. Mm-hmm. They've got to flip the court in Exact Tech.
Yeah.
Because every time you turn on a game, the seats are empty.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's a dead atmosphere.
It does.
It's not, because the Rowdies are over here. You just don't see them.
That's a good point.
I remember when they built it.
Yeah.
Mike Hill was there at the time, and he was the associate. And he said it would be a seven-figure. I don't know why.
Right.
It would cost seven figures to change it. I don't care what it costs.
Let's do it.
I don't care who pays it.
Yeah.
Because if you want to build your basketball program.
Yeah.
If every time you turned it on, every dribble of that game, you saw those crazy Rowdies.
Yep.
Because they're good now. They're legit.
Oh, yeah.
If you saw those Rowdies the entire game.
Yeah.
It would fuel life into your basketball program, which right now is not a highly regarded program.
Good point.
And so flip that. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it costs. I don't care if you have to build new seats or state or bleachers or whatever.
Right.
Flip that thing around. So every time you turn it on,
yeah.
you see those crazy Rowdies with their
yep.
pom-poms
yep.
losing their minds.
Because I saw it at Auburn when Florida went yes. there. Yeah.
And I think if you do that, it helps you recruit.
Yeah.
It helps your national brand. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, I'm so tired. I'm not trying to get on boosters, but I'm so tired of turning on a game.
I know.
And half the blue seats are empty.
Empty, bro.
And it feels on TV like there's no energy in the building.
I hear you.
So I think they've got one other thing.
Yeah.
You talked about beating Alabama twice, right?
Yeah.
Gymnastics is great. I don't know if you've paid a lot of attention to the women's basketball program.
Yeah, that guy's going to get there. Whoever that interim guy is going to be the coach, because he's doing a great job.
Yeah, it's an interim girl. Her name's Kelly Ray.
She's doing a great job.
She's doing. But I had a chance to meet her.
Uh-huh.
I met her
uh-huh.
and got to spend about 15 minutes with her.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, she is as sharp, Dan, as any young coach. You know how when you see a young football coach or basketball coach, you say, that's the one?
Yeah.
Their energy, their charisma. Mm-hmm. She's that person.
Yeah.
I remember meeting her. I met her at Jacksonville University. She's good friends with Jordan Mincy.
Okay.
So she and some of the players came over to watch a JU practice well before the season
mm-hmm.
and just to support Jordan. And I got introduced to her and got to talk to her about 15 minutes. I'm telling you, that's a star. Wherever if she gets the job, I hope she does, but wherever she lands, I'm not surprised. Finally, Gator women's basketball, which has never been very good,
no,
is it might be making an impact. I don't know how much people care about that, but it's a cool thing, and it'd be a cool thing to see that happen. So,
all right, my brother,
you didn't think we'd wrap up on Gator women's hoops, did you, Heck?
We just did.
That's all things Gators, all things orange and blue. Dan Hickett and Frank Frangie.
Yeah, thank you, Southeast Orthopedic Specialists, the very best in the Jacksonville area. If you have any orthopedic needs at all, se-ortho.com. Frank, have a great week.
You too, Heck.
All right, man.